Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's poppin', my nigga? It's PSA motherfucking podcast. You already know what it is, man. Sean, what's goody, my nigga?
Yo, what's good, my G? How you?
We in the building, man. You already know what it is, man. Let's get right into this shit, my nigga. We're gonna be talking about diss tracks that Sean and I, and this is not in chronological order. Let me slow it down for you niggas again before you try to come at me and my bro. Oh, how you got this song at number 5 and that? No. This is not chronological order. We're not going to sit up there and do all that for you niggas to try to kill us because you feel this song should be number 3. And Dre, why you got that song? Nah, we ain't doing all that, my nigga. So, Sean, set it off, my nigga. What you got?
So, when I think
honorable mentions first.
What happened?
Honorable mentions first, sir.
Okay, so here's an honorable mention. Real Motherfucking G's by Eazy-E when he was battling.
Wow.
When he was going at it with
Dre. Snoop.
And Snoop. He basically took BG Knockout, himself, and some gangbanging official certified dudes. You know, motherfuck Dre, motherfuck Snoop, motherfuck Death Row.
Motherfuck
and
Death
I hit
Row.
That blow. Like, it was real because it was straight to the point. You know, this is when diss tracks was going, like, straight, no chaser, no subliminal. This is what I'm saying. This is what I mean. And to hear Eazy-E, you know, just how legend he was, come back when people was like, oh, it's over, Eazy, because... You know, Dre had the Chronic. He had this new crew going on. They was popping. But then Eazy came back. Was like, you know. So,
now, hold on. Are you saying that was better than Dre Day?
No, it's not. It wasn't better than Dre Day at all. These are honorable mentions. And that's what you asked me. You said, give me some honorable mentions. This is an honorable mention. Okay? That's an honorable mention. He came back and he responded for real, and they responded on some street shit for real. Shot a video for it and everything.
Fact.
This was a straight up diss track. Okay? So that's one of my diss songs that special mention. Another one, I'm going to just name this MC. I'm going to name an MC. And he has many disses, but when Eminem was having his war of words with Benzino in the Source magazine, he unleashed some very, very lyrical disses. He released a diss called Nail in the Coffin. He released a diss called The Source. Like, he was making fun of the Source magazine, but called it The Source, like tomato sauce.
I guess.
And
the
level of lyricism was A1 top notch. He was going against media and publication. It's very difficult to go against.
But
the
let me ask you a question with Eminem, though. Eminem goes against guys that not really going to bite back at him. Is it safe to say that, though, the people that he chose to go at it with, whether it's Insane Clown Posse and the TRL, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, and these niggas.
Not true at all, because if you're an Eminem fan, you know he went at an underground MC named Cage. I bought Cage's tape, opened it, and dubbed
Cage,
over it.
Cage? Come on, my nigga. Cage?
That's
Cage? That's what you're throwing at me?
That's
fucking Cage? Fuck out of here,
Eminem,
nigga. Cage?
That's on Eminem's first album, and we're just talking about diss songs.
Okay.
You asked me about diss songs that I want to give honorable mention to. And I'm saying, as a battle MC, as an MC who makes diss songs, Eminem is one of the greatest at it. He also battled another guy that you're going to you don't want to consider, but Everlast.
See, the Cream Puffs. A lot of Cream Puffs.
Who called himself Whitey Ford. Now, when they were dissing each other, these disses were intense because Whitey Ford dissed Eminem back.
Intense.
Everlast, and he spazzed on M.
Why are you using the word intense?
One of my favorite diss songs ever. On the way he's this an honorable mention. But Everlast diss song to Eminem was so ill that Eminem had to respond
really
with the whole D12, and he had to rap over Hit Him Up. That's how it, that's how much it got to Eminem because of the way Everlast got at him. It was that serious where Eminem responded with his own version of Hit Him Up going at Everlast.
Right.
In terms of, and also, Eminem got caught up in the G-Unit beef with Ja Rule.
Well, he got caught up so guilty by association, my nigga. That was guilty by association.
Eminem dissed him, but he still dissed him. You want to talk about did he lyrically diss anybody? He dissed him. Ja Rule was at the top of his game when Eminem dissed him. So you can't
say. 50 took him out of it. You know, 50 already fucked him up before M started talking, my nigga. Let's be clear, man.
Nah, when M, what happened when M jumped in on it? That's when the avalanche started.
Ja was already in the casket. Ja was already
in
the casket.
This was the summer.
The casket
was
there,
the
man.
Summer.
The casket was there, B. Come on, man.
This was summer. This was the summer of 03. It was a Green Lantern mixtape because Green Lantern at the time was Eminem's DJ. And they released a mixtape that had insane disses. The point what I'm trying to make is these are honorable mention disses because I played them. And M literally was sing. That's all I'm saying. These were honorable mention. These are honorable mention diss songs because this was straight up disses. You know what I'm saying? So that's part of the honorable mention. I'm not asking who likes it or who dislikes it. I'm giving you my personal opinion. I'm giving you my personal opinion on how I felt about these diss songs. Okay?
Okay.
And as a person who disses people, Eminem is one of the greatest lyricists to diss an MC. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to give you another one. There's a Bronx MC. His name is Tim Dog. He made a song called Fuck Compton. That was a big deal. And the reason why it was a big deal, because one of the songs that's on my regular list responded to Tim Dog. You know, when NWA came on the scene and put Compton on the map, it kind of threw the whole hip-hop. Like, it was like, wow. So there's an MC from New York named Paul from the South Bronx. He was like, fuck Compton. Dre, beating on D from Pump It Up, step to the dog and get fucked up. Fuck Compton. I remember it. I bought the cassette single.
Yep.
It was a rah-rah anthem song. You know what I'm saying? It was a rah-rah anthem song. And believe it or not, Tim Dog wasn't a big popular MC. Those following hip-hop in that era,
but
they knew exactly who
he had videos circulating. Remember now, he had videos circulating on your own TV Raps a lot, though. Remember Saturday mornings? They used to show some Tim Dog videos on your own TV Raps.
And he made enough of an impact where Dre and Snoop, at the top of their game, responded to him. So while maybe the world may not have known who he was, because everybody knew who Dre and Snoop was at this time, they definitely found out who he was after Snoop got at him. So that's another one of my honorable mention diss songs because it was completely, you know, it's never mentioned when they talk about diss songs, you know. So you got some honorable mentions you want to throw in there?
Yes, I'm going to throw my first honorable mention. This is going to shock a lot of people because I particularly do not rock with this artist like that at all. I mean, I respect what he's done for the craft for the last couple of years here now. That's 5-7 years. Canada. I'm going to Toronto. I'm going Drake back to back. Yes, back to back. Do you understand that Meek tried to expose this nigga Drake that he was not writing his rhymes? Like, Meek went out of his way to let us know that y'all out here campaigning for a guy that's claiming that he's next to Jay-Z, this, that, and the third, and he's not writing his rhymes. And what did Drake do? He went in the booth and did back-to-back. I waited 4 days, nigga. Where y'all at? I drove in the race playing AR Ab. Do you remember the memes, my nigga? How real was the memes out here, man? Is that your world tour, your girls tour? Trigger fingers turn to Twitter fingers? Like, trigger fingers turn to Twitter fingers. That was the talk of the summer. You get embodied by a singing nigga? Come on, man. That shit was getting played in clubs, NFL training camps. So I had Drake back to back as one of my honorable mentions, my nigga. What do you think?
I think that was Meek Mill's. If you're playing chess, Drake played chess and Meek was playing checkers. Meek outthought himself. He overestimated what the hood was going to think about Drake having ghostwriters. He completely misread everything about Drake's stardom and popularity. If he didn't know how popular Drake was, he found out. He also made a strategic mistake when he told Flex, I got a response to that. And the response did not come. He was supposed to respond to back-to-back with whatever he had as soon as possible because people would have been able to talk. But it was taking days for a response to come.
But to be fair to Meek, though, he was on tour, though.
This was already done. It was a strategic mistake. It was a strategic mistake because by him letting back-to-back rock and giving it those days, like you said, the memes, trigger fingers turn to Twitter fingers, you get embodied by an R&B singer.
Wow,
that
singing.
Marinated in the consciousness of pop radio, street radio, and everything. And everybody's like, Meek. And this is what made it bad. Because everybody's like, Meek, we're waiting for your response. And when you hear no response, the only thing we can go for is this back-to-back song. So that song completely threw Meek off his game. Because he was in the state of shock that he couldn't believe anybody's rocking with it. Radio ran crazy with it, and he was just stunned. And by the time he came,
my nigga, let me tell you something. Besides Tupac's "Hit 'Em Up," this is one of the diss tracks that gets played in the clubs, and everybody's singing that shit verbatim. Like "Hit 'Em Up" and "Back to Back" are two diss tracks to me in hip hop history that gets played in the club, and everybody knows that song. Everybody knows that song. Those are the two songs.
I strongly disagree with that. And one of the songs I have on my list used to get played in the clubs a lot. But you got to be an older head to know when I bring this song up. But give me a fucking break about Back to Back. The impact it had is everything you said. It was nominated for Grammy. It was played nonstop. It was he sang it. He rapped. Everything you said about Back to Back is true. In terms of how I define diss tracks, it was nothing special about it at all.
I disagree. I totally disagree, and I cannot believe I'm here sticking up for Aubrey and shit.
My diss songs, they actually really diss you, and they lyrically diss you.
Nigga, he got a Meek's head. What are you talking about, bro? Everybody was shitting on Meek. He was the whipping boy of hip-hop, my nigga. He was the whipping boy.
Let me tell you who got a Meek's head. Cassidy got a Meek's head.
Not worse than Drake. My nigga, Cassidy's bars did not impact the way Drake shit did. I agree with you.
They did not impact like Back to Back. I agree with you. In terms for what I like in battle rap lyricism, A.R. Ab went harder. What I like, Gilly the Kid went harder. Niggas who battle Meek actually battle rap him and don't use their stardom. The stardom of Drake overwhelmed me. He was overwhelmed
and
by
that's
his star power.
That's you just, well, my nigga, you just hit it on the head. His stardom overwhelmed me. You're talking about a dude that tried to expose Drake, and it's 360 on him. He tried to expose this nigga, and got flipped on him.
And this is what Drake said about it. But do you understand that to this day that is a heavy thing about contention about Drake? People now say we can no longer. If you ask any MC, they'll say, well, Drake is great. I love him more, but I don't know if I could ever consider him a top lyricist if he doesn't write his rhymes. Like
That's true.
They'll give him all the props in the world. They'll give him all the props in the world, but they'll be like, but we can't consider him a top lyricist for like Kendrick or these other dudes because he potentially does not write a lot of his songs. Now, yes, he definitely won that. But by Meek exposing that as an MC, that's a lot, man, because who you are is your pen. That's what differentiates you.
But it didn't work, though.
Sean,
I agree with you because the cloth you're cut from. But it didn't work. These niggas did not give a fuck. My nigga, these niggas did not care the fact that Meek trying to put it out there that this nigga does not pen his own shit. And people still roll with Aubrey, man.
But it's not that people. It's pop culture roll with him. But his peers. All right. People who Drake looks at as MC, they look at him. They look at him and they're like, yo, you're great, but you we don't consider you a great lyricist. And that's that.
All right. I'm going to go to another honorable mention, sir. Coast. Well, he's born in Philly, and then he reps West Coast heavy. I'm going Corrupt, calling out names. Now, when you title a song calling out names, Sean, you literally have to say niggas' names. You can't do no subliminal shit. Me and Sean don't want to sit there and worry about what the fuck you're talking about if you're titling your song calling out names. Motherfuck D, motherfuck F. Only X I know is RBX. Fuck Ja Rule. Trying to sign Daz. Daz will sign you. You talked about DMX smashing Foxy. The nigga even said, fuck Rough Riders, man. I really like Corrupt song calling out names. And I know a lot of people might front on this, but I like the fact he went straight in and there was no pussyfoot around it. I'm telling you niggas who on the East Coast who I don't fuck with, I saluted the Locks. I salute Nori, Capone and Noriega. I salute the Wu, but I don't fuck with DMX because allegedly DMX was smashing Foxy and Ja Rule and these niggas had issues and shit. So I have Corrupt calling our names as my number two honorable mention, sir.
Okay, I'm not putting numbers on my honorable mention because there's so many honorable mentions, but I understand
well,
what
two.
You're saying.
You did three, so I'm putting two. That's all I'm doing.
Okay, so I just want to give an honorable mention, just an honorable mention. Foxy and Lil' Kim, because you mentioned Foxy's name, it made me think of this honorable mention. Lil' Kim on Quiet Storm Remix. When
that's
Foxy
just a verse,
Brown.
Though. That's just a verse.
But it's a diss song. That's a verse of the diss. A verse of the diss. Jay-Z
but the
on TakeOver
verses
gave
weren't disses, though.
Jay-Z on TakeOver gave Nas one verse. It was one verse to Nas on TakeOver. Remember that. Is that not accurate?
Yeah, man.
The second
TakeOver.
Okay, it was one verse. So now you're saying a verse added MC doesn't count? Is that where we're at now?
I really don't like verse. I like songs. My list is more conducted of people going at people.
And
none of the songs I have here is verses,
Quiet
like
Storm
one verse over fucking
this song.
Bang, and the Foxy had the best verse. Capone and Noriega wasn't dissing nobody. Only Foxy dissed Kim.
And Mobb Deep wasn't dissing nobody. Only Kim dissed Foxy.
Exactly.
So that's why I'm calling it honorable mention. I'm highlighting the fact that they were dissing.
Well,
so that's all I'm doing.
You gave us three honorable mentions, sir. You gave us three honorable mentions. You gave us three. I'm gonna give you one more honorable mention until you go back to your list. All right. One more honorable mention. Cameron. Curtis. I fucking love Curtis. I thought it was hilarious. I thought 50 usually wins these battles when they're going wax. I didn't feel he won this battle on wax against Cameron at all. I mean, I know we're going to sit here and say, well, you know, 50 flipped the script and named his album Curtis after Cameron tried to make fun of his government name. That's funny. But he did a video in Harlem. The video was hilarious. I got Cameron Curtis, man. What you thought about Cameron's Curtis song?
I thought it was funny, and I loved it. It highlighted Cam's humor, highlighted how petty Cam could get with a diss song, and Cam will not let anybody outswag him, be more hood than him, be more ignorant than him. And I loved that song, Curtis. It was so impactful that 50 changed the name of his album to Curtis because he tried to use the art of the war tactic against.
Yes.
your perceived weakness and turn it into your greatest strength.
Right.
The reason why, my opinion, the reason why he named his album Curtis is because Cam tried to play him with his name, with his government name, by calling him Curtis. So 50 was like, can you go play me with this? That's my name. I'm going to name my album Curtis, nigga. So I totally agree with you on that. Curtis was a fire song. Totally agree.
Start off your list, my brother.
I'm
going to
start off my list
with
the same MC we were just talking about. I'm going to start off my list with the same MC me and you were just talking about. We were talking about Cameron Giles. So it was one boring day in New York City. And I'm, and all of a sudden, there's a song called You Gotta Love It. Cameron's diss to Jay-Z. Max B on the hook. At this time, I didn't know who Max B was. This song was hilarious. You stole Kanye from Day. You stole Rock Away from Day. Cam was hilarious in this song, You Gotta Love It. He was like, you wearing chancletas. So this song was so crazy that Jay had to respond about wearing chancletas. I'm on the beach. You supposed to wear chancletas. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was hilarious. Yeah. I love the song, You Gotta Love It by Cam. He went that hole.
And the shit talking at the end by Cameron was hilarious. I ain't going front.
His shit talking in the beginning was hilarious. His shit talking at the end was hilarious. So I loved how Cam got at Jay-Z on You Gotta Love It. Because
I'm pretty sure you did.
His neck. So that has to be on my list. Because the impact was the streets loved it. Everybody was talking about it. And Hov had to respond to it. That's what makes a diss track have impact. When your intended target cannot ignore it. When your intended target cannot ignore it, it has the impact you wanted it to have. Like, you can't ignore me. You know what I'm saying? I'm here now. So I love You Gotta Love It by Cameron, one of my all-time best songs.
Continue. What's another one you got?
A song from a rapper from Chicago. His name is Common.
On my list too.
There's a rapper named Ice Cube, and he said this line. Used to love her, mad cause I fuck her, pussy whip bitch with no common sense. That's what Ice Cube said. You know what I'm saying? So he clearly was taking a shot at Common's great, great underrated song, I Used to Love Her. And Common was like, this nigga wants to get into a lyrical battle with me? Let's have at it. He does a song called The Bitch in You. And I'm going to tell y'all this right now. If y'all want to hear a song that takes every aspect of your career up until that point, breaks it down, puts all your hit songs in the lyrics, and breaks you down to the very last compound, KRS was. The Bitch in You was a lyrical exercise on what happens when you fuck with lyricists. A lot of times, MCs we never hear them focus and laser in on one opponent. Well, this time, we heard it with Common. Common is one of the great lyricists ever. Cube jumped in the ring with him thinking, yeah, I could do this. And to me, The Bitch in You just lyrically eviscerated Cube. Straight up. So that's one of my greatest songs.
And also, let me piggyback, because that's on my list also, obviously. We're both hip-hop heads also. First of all, man, produced by Pete Rock. Let's throw that out there also. And the very first bar, he says, Sean.
Same.
A bitch nigga with an attitude named Cube stepped to the calm with a few. What the fuck? I look like this in the whole coast. You ain't make shit dope since America's most. I disagree with only one line on there. He hasn't made shit dope since America's most. I guess he had to put that in there, but this certificate was after that, and that was a classic. And I was kind of, I'm not trying to be petty here. I'm not trying to be petty, but you got to call it out. I'm not being petty. I'm not being petty.
It was a play with words and rhyming. That's why he said it.
Yeah, but it wasn't true though. That's not factual.
But
not factual. You know that.
A lot of stuff in diss tracks aren't true. They're disses. They're just dissing you. You know what I'm saying? They're diss songs.
Yeah, but
the point of the matter is, I thought Ice Cube got lyrically eviscerated by Common.
He did. Went from gangsta to Islam to the Dick of Das Effects on the Dick of the East for your first release.
Chiggity check yourself. Chiggity yourself before you wreck yourself. That's what he's talking
about.
Yeah. When Common said that, that's what he's talking about. Oh, you dick riding East Coast now. Because if you look at Cube's
now,
career, he, you know.
Is this one of the most slept on diss tracks that nobody talks about, though? That me and you gonna know, but your average hip hop head might not put this on their list.
Yes. Your average hip hop head will not put this on their list. But I will, because I'm the difference between average hip hop head and a fucking hip hop fanatic. Now, if you claim you're a hip hop head or a hip hop fiend or, you know, a hip hop junkie, Nice and Smooth style, and you don't know about this song, my nigga, Kick Rock.
Word.
Everybody knows
and violate you,
rock.
And violate you, a Muslim drinking brew, your nigga ain't no Mac 10. He's a 22.
What?
Yeah, man. What else you got, man? That song was fire. That's what I you have Common on your list? I have Common on mine also, bro.
I have a song called Second Round Knockout by Cannabis.
Got that on my list too, goddamn it.
It was a response to LL Cool J because LL Cool J took Cannabis off of a song called 4321. And if you listen to the song 4321 and you listen to LL's verse, the entire verse is going at Cannabis. He just doesn't say Cannabis's name because he says, "You want this tattoo on my arm." LL jumped the gun. LL was feeling himself. He thought this young boy was trying to get at him when he was like, "Yo, L, yo, woo, where the guards at? Yo, L, where the tat at?" You know, something just playing with words. But L took it like, "Oh, you trying to diss me?" So L takes Cannabis off the song, re-records his own verse, and just goes at Cannabis. Well, Cannabis responded with Second Round Knockout. And let me tell you, man, the radio waves in New York City were on fire when that came out. This song was so potent, LL met with Wyclef before the song was dropped and basically begged him, "Don't release it." He checked
Word.
Me and said, "I met with him in the studio." I was like, "Yo, release this week. There was a misunderstanding. Don't like this is how you know L knows this shit is crazy." Not only was this song so crazy, once the song was released, L knew everybody was going to love it. So L had his own diss song to respond to it. And it wasn't good. It wasn't good at all.
Some people think it was good, though. You do know that, though, right? Some people did rock with that shit. Some people did rock with that shit. I didn't rock with it.
This is what they were rocking with. Let's compare. "Better go and get the Fugees because I eat MCs." That's what LL said. Cannabis was like, "I studied your background, read the book that you wrote, researched the footnotes, brought how you used to sniff coke, fronting like some drug-free role model you discussed." Yo, he lyrically slayed L. LL Cool J knew he lost. LL Cool J literally had to do another song a year later called "Where I Belong" with Ja Rule on the hook. Just to respond again, because he really understood. He looked. Second Round Knockout was the height of Cannabis' career. He was ill. Everybody knew he was ill. And then we hear him just taking down a legend. LL was a legend by 1998. "I'm going to let the world know
definitely.
The truth. You know what? Every time you study my rhymes, then you let your vocals after mine." Like, it was too much. And then he put Mike Tyson on it. You know, this was a diss song that had everything you want in a diss song. And he never mentioned L. Cool J's name. He did what L. Cool J did to him. L. Cool J never mentioned Cannabis' name on 4321, yet his entire verse was to Cannabis. Cannabis never mentions LL's name in Second Round Knockout. Not once. "Get your wife on the
now,
call Mr. Farrakhan."
Farrakhan. Now, I have this also on my list, and let's be real, man. This is how I look at this, Sean. Like, LL had to know, my nigga, this is not Ice-T. This is not Kumo D. None of them other Fugazi niggas that I might have battled. You know what I'm saying? And you already highlighted the 5-4-3-2-1 song already. Also, what about the phone conversation that was taped with LL and Cannabis? That was kind of weird. LL was trying to sun him on the conversation. Did it surprise you at all that Mike Tyson was in this video, being that Tyson and LL basically came up in the same era?
Yes, it did surprise me. It actually shocked me. It shocked me because it's like, Mike, what are you doing? Like, it shocked me. Mike and LL came up at the same exact time. The same exact time Mike Tyson is coming up as the youngest heavyweight champion to hold all three belts, LL is coming up as a solo rapper mid to late 80s, the same era. So that was really surprising. That was really surprising. That was, you know, I'm going to really put some cosign on this.
Word.
You know, and you know, they call it second round knockout. You get Mike Tyson, who knocks niggas out. That's what he's known for. Mike Tyson punch out. Nintendo head, y'all know what I'm talking about. So I feel that. I
also, the video, wasn't it the second round knockout video? Wasn't that a playoff, a spinoff of Mama Said Knock You Out?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Right.
Absolutely.
What else you got?
I'm going to the South Bronx. I'm going to the Boogie Down Bronx. To the Blastmaster KRS-One. He has a song called The Bridge Is Over.
Got on my list, too. On my list, too.
Quiz is one of the greatest. It's produced some of the greatest MCs in hip-hop history. But when KRS went at MC Shan and Marley Marl, now, you earlier said that back-to-back and Hit 'Em Up was the two most played songs you ever heard in the club, potentially even on the radio. Now, I'm going to tell you why I strongly disagreed when you said that.
Nah, stop bouncing in there, too. Pardon yourself.
Because The Bridge Is Over, not only was it played everywhere, it was played everywhere hip-hop was played. If you played hip-hop, you played over when it was out, and it was a diss song, and everybody knew it was a diss song. Beat classic. You know he's using his Yachty flow.
I love that shit, nigga.
And this is where everybody will admit and say with a straight face, KRS. This is one of the hand down clear 3-0s, 30 pieces.
My nigga, you took on the whole Queensbridge Dolo, Queensbridge.
And think about this now, Queensbridge. Mind you, Nas, Tragedy, Havoc, they all live in Queensbridge when this is happening. You know what I'm saying? They're youngins. They love hip hop.
Yeah, youngins.
They all hear it and understand that the most popping song out in the city right now is dissing us. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
It's one of the great diss tracks of all time.
My nigga, Manhattan keeps on making it. Brooklyn keeps on taking it. Bronx keeps creating it, and Queens keeps on faking it. Like, how? I don't think the people know how ill that line was, Sean, for us, man, coming up in hip hop, my nigga. Like, niggas will go around saying that shit all day and shit. Like, we used to shit on Queens.
It's like he swagged on them and styled on them. Like, think about the line. It's like he was flexing on them. You know, he goes, dee-dee-dee-daddy, day. Like, he was just swagging on them without lyrics at points in the thing. You know, Roxanne Shantae's only good for city. Fuck it, yo. KRS in the 80s. Let me be very clear. As an MC,
you didn't want no smoke. You didn't want no smoke.
In the decade of the 80s, KRS, what I would say, represented why the Bronx created hip-hop. Because he was there for Coke LaRocque. And he was there for the Cold Crush. But he was there for all that early shit. And so hip-hop was, like, everything to him, and he embodied it. And boy, he, The Bridge Is Over is a classic diss song.
I agree, my nigga. The nigga that went at, I mean, Marley Marl, Mr. Magic, Roxanne Shanté. I said, man, the whole QB, man. I got that on my list, too, man. What else you got?
So when you think of Curtis Jackson, a.k.a. 50 Cent, he comes out with How to Rob. That's how we know him, because How to Rob, when he's like this with everybody in the industry. He also has Your Life's on the Line, Scream Murder, I Don't Believe You. That's a diss song going at John Murder, Inc. So you know 50 makes diss songs. But once 50 makes it, on his album, Give It to Die Tryin', he has a song produced by Dr. Dre called Back Down.
On my list too, God damn it.
This song, Back Down, meant everything to me, man. When I tell you this song meant everything to me, let me tell you how real this song was. 50 is petty. So Get Rich or Die Tryin' did not come out yet. But he was having a war of words with Murder, Inc. with this all through 2002. So before Get Rich or Die Tryin' drops, Big Mike drops a tape that got Black Child and Tom Murder dissing 50. Black Child has a scathing diss song. You know, I come through 134 and don't see you. You know, he's rapping over the Wankster beat. So 50's like, hold up, you think you just going to diss me and I don't have something prepared for y'all niggas? So he's allowed Back Down to get leaked and let all the DJs have it. So before the album came out, Back Down was already leaked because DJ Big Mike had it on his tape because he put it right after the Wankster joint. Back Down is one of the classic songs. Any living thing that cannot coexist with the kid must decease existing. Little nigga, now listen. Your man and your peppy that...
Bappy, you're raising dirty-ass kids, I'll fucking erase them.
Your success is not enough. You want to be hard. Knowing if you get knocked. Yo, that song was crazy. Yo, he went at Ja. It's easy to see when you look at me. If you look closely, 50. Yo, the
don't back down.
Way he rapped over Dre gave him a banger.
Dre a banger, that's facts.
Banger. And he used that and turned it into a diss song. It is one of the best songs on Get Rich Die Tryin'. Back Down is one of the best songs on Die Tryin'. Okay? Listen, man, we all know the history of Ja Rule and 50 beefing. Back Down is the centerpiece of that beef. Every time we talk about I Destroyed Ja Rule, whatever we say, the song that captures that is Back Down. One of my favorite songs.
I have that on my list also, and if everything you said, I totally agree with, man. And like you said, man, you're talking about Ja Rule at the time. This nigga was selling records, man. And here comes his Southside Jamaica Queens goon nigga, 50 Cent, just to fucking come at his neck. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to put Back Down right there with Ether, Hit Him Up, and Take Over, man. I'm not jumping out the window by saying that either.
No, you're not jumping out the window at all. You're not jumping out the window at all. I think me and you can remember the spring of 2003 was the year of 50. That's not
facts.
Us making shit up. This is what it was. And
Back was,
Down, yep. And Back Down was the centerpiece of, you got to understand something. Think about this, y'all. The number one album in America that sold more records than any album that year, that sold more than every combined hip-hop album that came out, has a diss song going at Ja. And then at the end, he goes for Overkill, and he has some guy who's acting like he's gay talk about Ja Rule.
Yes.
I'm Ja Rule's stylist. And I'm fucking, like, he
yes.
really.
That was crazy.
Now, mind you this, the whole world hears this. Do you understand? Think about this. You can be a fan of Drake and not really know about his beef with Meek. You could really not know about it. You cannot have Get Rich or Die Tryin' and not know about 50
Back Down.
And not with Ja Rule. You can't. The whole world knew. This song is
you
one of the most.
You sing for hoes? Sound like the Cookie Monster? Yo, 50's a wild nigga, man. Wild nigga, man. What else you got, brother? So I got back down all that on my list. What else you got?
I'm going to piggyback off of what you said. You said you have it up there with a song called Hit 'Em Up, Take Over, and Ether. All three of those songs you just mentioned, I have all three of those songs on my list.
Me too.
And we can take
me too.
One,
so this should be, yeah.
We can take each one by one. Let's start with Hit 'Em Up.
All right.
Hit 'Em Up changed battle rap disses, how they were going to come out, in my opinion. The impact of Hit 'Em Up with the personals. Biggie, remember when I used to let you sleep on my couch? This was real talk. You know, in battle rap, we talk about personals. Well, Hit 'Em Up had personals. Hit 'Em Up had personals. Hit 'Em Up had accusations. You claim to be a player, but I fucked your wife. It's hard to, you know. We saw the pictures with Faith out there being caught out there, being in the studio with Pac. We know for a fact that song led to Biggie and Hud completely not fucking with each other. Like, Biggie, he couldn't handle it. He could not handle that. They were already having problems because he's fucking Kim on the road, and she ain't like that. And then he's like, wait a minute, you going out there with my enemy? Like, this was a this you want. This is chess, not checkers. These are warning shots. After my next move, I'll show you what I got. That's what 50 said, right? Pac played chess on this. Pac played chess on this. Hit 'Em Up. You know, he talked shit.
My nigga.
It's another thing.
The first thing he said is, I fucked your bitch. That's the first thing he says before he goes to
that's why
bars,
I fucked
like,
your bitch, you fat,
the
nasty
rip.
Motherfucker. Yo,
wow.
Hardcore. So, you know, we like, you know how we earlier we like talking about 50 and Cam talking shit before and after the record, right? We always did
yes.
the props for that. Hit 'Em Up.
Facts.
Did that before them. Years before them.
Yeah.
He talked shit at the beginning, and at the end, he talked shit. Fuck Bad Boy Records as a label and staff. Fuck anybody rhyme with Biggie. Chino XL, fuck you too. Fuck Mob Deep. Like, he went on a rant.
My nigga, I've been in the club when that song comes on, B. And I'm going to keep it real. I'm a Brooklyn nigga, man. I'm going to keep it tall. This ain't no bias. It's how I feel. I'm a Biggie nigga first, so I can't really rock out to this song. But I do know the fucking impact of that song. When that song would come on, I'd have to go over the cut, like, just duck my head. Because I couldn't sing that song. I'm going to keep it real. I never sang that song out loud. Never. But I know the
and
impact
of it. And that's another thing. You said it wasn't being. You said back to back was played in the club. Yo, Hit 'Em Up was played in the clubs, man. They played that song. I was at college homecoming in '96, and they was throwing that shit on the regular. On the regular, matter of fact, it wasn't even the summer. It was at homecoming. The homecoming was during. Pac had passed away already, and they were playing. Hit 'Em Up was.
Only problem with this song is I wish he went dolo instead of having other nigga rhyme on it. I think he should have went dolo.
Okay. In terms of so
only problem I have with
another thing we need to tell people. The beat for Hit 'Em Up was basically a play off of Junior Mafia's Get Money remix.
Yes.
You know,
definitely.
Biggie, Junior Mafia's Get Money remix and the Get Money remix, of course Biggie effortlessly check it out, guns are awesome. Don't discuss them.
Problem with my wife, I don't discuss them.
Yeah. Oh, you know those lyrics, huh? Yeah. I'm glad
hello,
you
I'm Brooklyn, nigga. Fuck you, mean?
I'm glad you do. So
I'm from Brooklyn, nigga.
Clearly, Pac heard this song and was like, yo, I can't stand this fat nigga, man. I'm going to get at him and use the same beat, basically. So he used mm-hmm. the money beat, changed it up, and went at Biggie's neck. Jay-Z always tells the story. I told Big, you got to respond to this nigga, man. You can't let him do this. You know, a lot of people wanted Big to respond. I wanted Big to respond. A lot of people say Long Kiss Goodnight, subliminal. A lot of people said Long Kiss Goodnight.
I love Long Kiss Goodnight, but I needed him to say names and really go ape
right.
shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What else you got?
So we
can have that song also on my list.
Takeover and Ether. We're gonna have to get into this.
Yes.
No, Takeover and Ether are two, I would say, are the standard bearers of diss tracks for the last 17 years.
Of this millennium? Of this millennium, yes.
17 years. Last 17 years of hip-hop. Last 17 years of hip-hop. This, oh my God. So, Takeover. You know, in our past shows, me and you talked about Jay-Z at Summer Jam in 2001. Jay-Z did an acapella freestyle.
Legendary.
It's legendary. It's legendary.
Why you pause so long? Why the long pause, though?
Ask Nas, he don't want to hove. That set off two of the great diss songs of the last 17 years, Takeover and Ether. I mean, I don't know what more can be said about Takeover. The Doors sample by Kanye West.
Do you remember the first time you heard Takeover? What was your initial reaction when you first heard Takeover? My first initial reaction was like, nigga, I played that shit 36 times in a 4-hour span. No bullshit.
I had the bootleg version of the Blueprint. A bootleg version, because the streets had it first. Bootleg, right? I could not get past Takeover. I went to Takeover, and I just played that, and that's all I played. I couldn't tell you what was on the Blueprint for about a week because I kept playing Takeover. It was unreal to hear somebody get at Nas like this. Like, it was unreal. You showed me your first tech on Tone Law Professor.
Professor, and I heard you about your album and get the tech on your track.
Yo. Woo! Jay-Z.
Well, Tupac
Jay-Z.
Got at Nas, though. To be fair now, Tupac didn't get at Nas.
Tupac did. Yeah, listen. Now, Nas, you want to live my life. I understand that. This, to me, was different, though, because Nas and Jay-Z, there was this mythical fight for the King of New York. And there was a lot of stuff going back and forth. When Jay-Z brought everybody up to rhyme over Uchiwali, when Nas is doing the QB Finest album, when he does the Payton for freestyle, like, this was leading up. This was leading up to this. So, Takeover is one of the greatest. It's one of the great hip hop diss songs of all time, just because the moment it was happening, the MCs that were battling, people will argue that Jay-Z and Nas are two of the greatest MCs ever.
Yes.
You got some people who think Nas is the GOAT. Some people think Jay-Z is the GOAT. Well, that's
yep.
why it makes this song that impactful.
Got
that
Mobb Deep also, though. Got to throw that out there. Got that MOBB also, RIP Prodigy.
You're right. He got it, though. But for some reason, people look at it as him getting at Nas. For whatever the reason, people equate that as Jay-Z versus Nas, Takeover versus Ether. And just to hear him get at Nas the way he was getting at him, you know, your shit is God, but you're trying to kick knowledge. Like, that, Jay-Z appealed to low information, I'm in the hood, I don't like conscious rap bullshit type. So I had a lot of street niggas like, come on, man, Nas is fucking me up with that shit, man. He be trying to kick Nas all that shit. Your Hov is right. Like, that Hov made that message a popular thing. That, oh, you niggas is backpack rappers. You niggas is like Talib Kweli. You niggas, like, you trying to kick Nas? I don't want to hear that type of shit. Like, he made that a belief because of his influence. So the song is just, Takeover is just, it's an incredible song. Incredible beat. Can we salute Kanye on that beat? Can we salute Kanye on the Dorsey?
The beat was fire, my nigga. That shit was better than Eat the Beat. Let's be clear. It was better than Eat the Beat.
Can we salute Kanye on that?
Definitely. Early Kanye.
Can we call him
Kanye,
a mad
yes.
genius? Can we call him a mad genius for that beat?
He wasn't a genius at that time, though. He wasn't at that time. We didn't label him as a genius.
When he was productive? We just talking about his production.
My nigga, when Kanye did fucking take over, he was not a genius at the time. Let's be clear.
He produced. He produced most
my
of
nigga,
the,
didn't,
the best.
My nigga, we did not call. All right. Once again. Did you call Kanye a genius when that beat dropped? No, he was not a genius. He was on a come up.
I did not know the extent of Kanye's production until he actually became a star. And he told us.
Right, but he wasn't a fucking genius when he did that beat, my nigga.
Wait a minute. When he said, go back and look at my track record, what I produced, and I saw he produced The Truth by Beanie Siegel, one of my favorite Beanie Siegel songs. I saw that he produced Ain't No Love in the Heart of the City. Are you kidding me?
Not a genius yet.
I saw he produced Never Change.
He was not a genius in 2001, my nigga. He wasn't a genius in 2002, and he was not a genius in 2003.
This is what I'm this is what I'm saying. If I'm judging you by your classic work, and your classic beats are on an album that Joe Budden wrote, and said it's a classic in the source. When he wrote about, he said, my favorite Hov is mature Hov who understands his craft. And he talked about the Blueprint album. You cannot talk about the Blueprint album and not talk about Kanye West's production. You can't talk about Takeover.
Yes, I agree, but I just wasn't given the genius title.
And wait, tell me.
Overall, you're a genius now, but at that time, he wasn't.
I'm trying to understand that. You can't say you're not a genius when your best work is when we didn't know it was you producing the shit. That's like me saying, RZA wasn't a genius on Cuban Links, even though he produced those songs. Like, you taking his great body of work and saying it's not genius work? That Takeover beat is fire. You so lame. That's Kanye, my dude. This is Ye Tudor. This is Yeezus.
My nigga, I'm saluting Kanye. Don't get it twisted.
So, like you said, Takeover, great, 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 this song. Okay, and like you said, back to Mobb Deep. Ooh, Mobb Deep, boy, he damn near, 50 said, I do your
little
ass like Jay did Mobb Deep. When 50 said that, he said that because of that first verse on Takeover. Straight up.
I wonder how Mobb Deep felt about that shit. How he felt about 50 saying that about them, but then they signed anyway, so it don't make a difference, okay?
So, just in terms of what it did to Mobb Deep, I had people actually like, and this is what really, really upset me about some of my best friends in hip hop. They really tried to just throw Mobb Deep's entire legacy and career out the window because Hov said that. You little fucks, I got money sacks bigger than you. Back in, when I was pushing weight back in 88.
Back in 88, you was a ballerina. I got the picture. I seen you.
Yo, it was career damaging. It was career damaging to the point where Prodigy said in his book, I did not know how we were perceived anymore after that. I didn't know until we went on tour and people were still fucking with our music. Like that's
I still fuck with Mobb. I'm a big Jay-Z fan, but I still fuck with Mobb Deep when that shit was going on.
Yo, sidebar, I fucked with Mobb Deep as heavy as I've ever fucked with them. I never stopped fucking with them.
Me too.
That was just
me too.
Song. You know what I'm saying? That's like me saying, yo, I can recognize the game because he's trying to kick knowledge. And he got one hot song every 4-year average.
Same
he made
average.
The hotline hot song.
Made a hot like song. People, I know I paid God. Searchlight Publishing.
People ran with that. Hov was at the top of hip-hop and people ran with every word he said like it was gospel. It was, Nas was on the clock. Nas was on the clock, and he had to be very strategic on how he was going to respond to Takeover. And that brings us to the next song. Fuck Jay-Z! That's how Ether starts. Just to be clear. Just to be clear to Dre. Just to be clear to everybody. Ether starts with,
fuck out of here.
Fuck Jay-Z! And that's Tupac.
Okay, all right. You said it already.
My question to you. Am I lying, or is that accurate? Is this all facts?
Facts, man.
Is it all first verse? Is it all first verse?
First verse, man. All first verse, man. Okay. Got it, man.
All first verse. Nas responds with Ether. I really don't think no one will understand. Well, I'm going to tell you how niggas fuck about Ether. I'm downtown Brooklyn. Dre knows this area. I'm at Fulton Street, downtown Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a strip where they sell mixtapes. It's called the Bazaar. They sell mixtapes, kung fu movies, all this shit they sell inside there.
All that fly shit.
Right. Gold. You know what I'm saying? It was a bazaar. People went there. Fucking. My man said, yo, come here. You got to hear this. Because K-Slay has a mixtape out. On K-Slay's mixtape, K-Slay has Ether. My man is gassing up every nigga in the hood. Yo, come here, come here, come here, come here. So all these niggas just standing around the mixtape booth, and he plays Ether. Jesus Christ, my nigga. We are just standing there in shock and in awe because we're hearing someone get at Hove when Hove is the undisputed dominant figure in hip-hop. Undisputed. At this time,
glad you know that.
There's no question about
I'm glad you know that.
Hip-hop.
Hove I'm glad you know that.
Runs hip-hop. How could I not know that? He had the blueprint out. How could I not
okay,
know
as long
that?
As you know that.
Hove ran
as long as you know,
hip-hop.
As long as you know that.
And I know it. And I know it. There's no question. Hove ran hip-hop. Without a question. So, we wanted to know, can Nas even affect this nigga? Well, we know the answer to that. The answer is hell motherfucking yeah.
I wouldn't say hell motherfucking yeah, but guys, I wouldn't say hell motherfucking
is,
yeah like that. But
the answer is, can he answer Hove? Hell yeah, he can answer Hove. My God, man, Ether say word now.
The beat was whack though. Let's be clear, the beat was kind of whack though. Let's be clear.
Issa is a word now. Can we establish that Issa is a word?
What yeah, we established that, but can we establish that Ron Brown's that beat was kind of overrated?
First, let's establish certain things. Is Issa on your top 10 diss tracks?
It's in my list. It's on my list.
And it's on my list, too. So we agreeing to that, right? We agreeing to that. We agreeing that it's on our list, right? Okay. All the diss tracks we heard, Issa's on it. Now, Ether was produced by the Ether Boy. Everybody know who the Ether Boy is, Jake? Tell everybody who the Ether Boy is.
Ron Browse, man.
Ron Browse.
Ron Browse.
Everybody knows who he is. T-Rex knows who he is. So battle rap community, y'all should know who Ron Browse is. He's the Ether Boy. Dre, tell everybody why he calls himself the Ether Boy.
I don't know. Why don't you tell us, tough guy?
No, you tell him. You are the hip-hop historian, just like I am. Tell everybody why Rob Brown
calls
himself the Ether Boy.
Well, because Ether was so big. Did he just transform his name to Ether Boy because of Ether? I mean, isn't that the story?
Really? We're going to downplay it? Why calls himself the Ether Boy? We're going to downplay it now? Okay, so here's Dre. Dre says that he was overrated, he wasn't all that. Let me tell you how I feel about the Ether Boy. I love the Ether beat.
I love
the Ether beat. I don't like the Ether beat. I don't think it's a dope beat. I think
it's not better than Takeover.
Classic.
It's not better than Takeover.
Beat. I think Ether is a classic, classic beat.
It's not better than Takeover, though.
I think it is organic created beat. I think Ether is an organic created beat. I think it is a sample. I think Ron Browse created that beat, and I salute Ron Browse for it. Now let's get back to Ether. A lot of people have a problem with Ether because they say, oh, you lying, Nas. Nothing you said about Jay-Z is true. That's the revisionist history that happens now because of Jay-Z as a goddamn billionaire. But Ether was the shit, man. Ether came out in everybody. I'll just name some people. Eminem, they asked him, who you think got it, Ether or Takeover? I hate to say this, but I have to give it to Nas. Alicia Keys, who you give it to? I love Nas. I'm going to have to give it to Nas. Rosie Perez, who you give it to? Oh, I love Jay-Z and Nas together, but I got to give it to Nas. It was unquestioned. It was only people like Mr. C, who was a DJ at High 97 at the time, who said, I can't leave Brooklyn. I'm giving it to Jay-Z. Jay-Z lost. Everybody in the Rock City lost. Dame said it. Bean said it. Issa was one of the defining moments of Nas's Mount Rushmore all-time great legacy, and the fact that he was able to pause and push Hov back and stop the Hov run for a millisecond and have Hov in the south of France during Summer Jam, it lets you know how great Issa was. Issa, all-time great, all-time great. You know, let me tell you something. How much your Biggie Rhymes gonna come out your fat lips? Yo, this
that
is
was
us.
Stupid. That was a reach. That was a reach.
So this is us. Ooh.
I wasn't like that.
Russ already came out with an album called Blueprint first. Biggie's your man. Then you got the nerve to say you better than Big. Won't you let the late great veteran live?
Let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question? When did he say he was better than Big? I always want to know that question. When did Nas make that up? Nas made that up, and you niggas ran with that shit.
Here's my rebuttal. Jay-Z was being interviewed by Free. From 106 and Paul. And she was like, talk to me about your relationship with Big. And he talked about it. And then they brought up the song Brooklyn's Finest. She said, I think Big had a better verse than you. He was like, that's okay, but you need to listen to it again. You sure about that? Sure about what? Wasn't better than you? First, Biggie's your man. Then you got the nerve to say you better than Big. Dick sucking lips, won't you let the late great veteran live?
I don't think, my nigga, think just because he said, my nigga, is Jay-Z supposed to sit up there and say he had a whack verse? Is that what you want him to do?
No, but you're not.
Is that what? Okay, then. So what the fuck are you talking about?
Anyway, so another thing that was crazy. Anyway, Nas said it because Jay-Z was implying that he was better than Big. But here's another thing.
I don't think he was implying that at all. But go ahead.
One of the songs we talked about. The first song that I talked about was "You Gotta Love It" by. Cam also
Bigavel.
Something called I'm Not a Writer, a Biter. And there was a skit of all the times Jay-Z used Biggie's lyrics in a song.
I'm big enough to do it, my nigga. He told you niggas that already, man. Ain't nobody else gonna keep Big's name alive. Who else gonna keep Big's name alive? You niggas sound fucking retarded. And y'all let Nas gash y'all up with that dumb shit. Y'all let Nas tell you that Eminem. Nobody would say Eminem had a better verse than Jay-Z on Renegade. So Nas said it, and niggas like you ran with that shit, man. Fuck out of here.
And Eminem murdered you on your own shit. You a dick-riding faggot. You love the attention. Queens run you niggas. Ask Russell Simmons.
Let me ask you a question about that. Can we talk about that line? I never understood that line. I think that shit would never made any sense. Takeover meant more to me because you're just saying a lot of shit that just sounds good, Nas. Just sounds good. Ask Russell Simmons. What are we asking Russell? What are we asking Russell? Who did Russell run in Brooklyn? Okay. I think so.
What we're doing now, which is unfair, is we're being petty and dissecting the song. We're talking about
I'm not being petty. I always thought this way when niggas like you and other people I know was the best diss track of all time. And I'm like, my nigga, you said a lot of shit like suck dick and lips and all that. Come on, my nigga, come on.
Here's what I'm going to say. You think you're getting girls because of your looks? Yeah, nigga, you really think you're bagging these bad bitches? Because the way you look, Camel Joe-ass nigga. That's what you trying to play me, nigga? I'm Nas Esco, nigga. I've been bagging bitches. You think you get girls because of your look? Negro, please. Anyway, you want to get petty with this shit. We rap the whole song. It's light. So the point of it is, Issa's on your top 10. This is on mine. And it's on ours because of the impact, what it did, and the fact that Jay-Z rhymed about Issa over, rhymed about Takeover, rhymed about Issa. for damn near 9 years after that. He couldn't take it out of he couldn't stop talking about Ether. Yo.
What else you got, man? What else you got? I'm listening. What else you got?
These two MCs dissed each other, so I'm putting it as one.
Okay.
The back and forth between Jadakiss and Beanie Siegel.
Yes, on my list too. Well, not Jada against Siegel. I got Siegel. Again, I have no Jada just going at Siegel on my list at all.
Well, I have it as one because it was all to me. It was
I'm surprised. Why? Why? Jadakiss rapped over a disco beat. Like, what are we doing?
Because Jadakiss rapped over a disco beat and I fucking loved it. I fucking loved it.
You love the morning beat. You love the morning beat shit.
I'm stunting on the disco beat. Use a fag.
I didn't like that beat, man. I ain't like that. That beat was trash. I'm sorry.
So let me sidebar, y'all. I was born in the 70s. I was raised in the disco era.
Me too.
Jadakiss stunted on a nigga in a disco beat. Now, here's the thing.
Being stunted on Jada by grabbing his beat and rapping off his own beat, kissed the game goodbye.
I thought Beans won that kiss in a way that was unbelievable. I really, really, really was just, I couldn't deny it. Like, I'm someone who likes Jadakiss better than Beans. But I could not deny what Beans was saying, man. Beans.
My nigga, the first thing he said was, fuck the speculation, talk over. Nigga did dig this. I'm about to sun kiss like the soda. It made Jay to the wah. Come on, man. Beans is not playing.
Beans wasn't playing, man. Beans was not playing. This song had the streets talking. You want to know what the streets was talking about? I remember those conversations with our niggas. Like, yo, you heard Beans go at Kiss. Like, this was fucking everybody head up because the streets love Kiss. And the streets love Beans. So this was really like, niggas didn't know how to talk about this shit, but like, my
yeah, but
God.
Kiss lost clearly. He lost clearly, though. He lost clearly.
But I have both of them. So, K Slate comes out with a mixtape called Return of Jada,
mm-hmm.
And that's when he has the disco beat thing on. But I notice what everybody talks about. So if Jadakiss wasn't rhyming over a disco beat and he just used the same verses over the truth, would we still be thinking it was a clear loss?
Yes.
Okay.
Beans got better bars. Beans got better battle rap bombs to me.
Hard life tour, nigga, hugging your mom. Jigga got his old Bentley. Now you want some shit. That's real talk. You battle rap, nigga,
with
talk. So when Kiss gave y'all real talk, that means act like he making it up. Hard life.
You want it with
life tour, hugging your mom,
my nigga.
Nigga.
You
want
it with Sieg? Need the whole Locks to help out. It's just me. I don't need the Rock to help out. Come on, my nigga. What else you got, man?
I'm just telling you, Jada gave you real talk.
Okay.
Hey,
what else you got?
Give you his Bentleys. Yeah, Hov gave me his Bentleys. Okay, so that's true. Yo, is it true? Kiss, you was on a Hard on Slice tour. You met Beanie's mom and you gave her a hug. Oh, that's true, too. So my point is, when he gives you real talk, it don't count because it's over a disco beat. My point is, these were fire diss tracks. I love them. The streets was going crazy over these songs. And, yo, I fucked with them hard, being spazzed. And so did
All right. So how many got left? I think we got 8.
Yeah.
What else you got?
So I have a song we made a reference to earlier. And it was a very popular song, radio play, but it was the diss. Dre Day.
Okay.
Dre Day is a diss song. If anybody wants to know, Dre Day is a diss song. There is no I'm not too sure about it. It's a diss song. It's a diss song. There was some super, super pause moments in there. When Dre said, "Got beef in your mouth, so my dick's got to fit." When he was talking about Luke.
Yeah, that was... Yeah.
The Super Bowl. But here's the thing. That song got played everywhere. It was another one of those songs. You know, I remember, I'm gonna go back to you talking about back to back was played, and I hear. I'm telling you, my nigga,
it was, nigga.
Dre Day was played. Dre, and so was Dre Day, and so was The Bridge Is Over, and so was Dre Day, and so was The Bridge Is Over. Played on the radio, played in the club, played in niggas' whips. So was Dre Day. Dre Day was a big song.
Dre Day
video
was big,
shot.
Dre Day was big.
Video shot. Tim M-U-T. Yo, Snoop went at Tim Dogg.
Luke.
Dre
Luke.
Went at Luke. Like, it was a diss song. It was a diss song. And they made it a popular radio played song that people jammed to. They shot a video. God damn it. Luke had to make a video and respond to it.
Yep, damn sure did.
Luke
had
a video
and
respond to it.
All right. What else you got? Give me one more. You got one more. What else you got?
Now, this one is going to shock you. Well, it's not going to shock you, but
last
to
one,
me,
drum roll. Last one, drum roll.
If any of you guys know about LL Cool J, you know that LL Cool J is a battle rappers. He disses battle rappers. I mean, not battle rappers. He disses rappers. He makes a name off of it. The reason why he battled, the reason why he wanted to battle Cannabis is because he was like, "This is what I do. I'm Jack the Ripper." You know,
I guess Kool Pops though.
And Jack the Ripper is not the song that I'm talking about because that was a diss song to Kumo D. But he has another diss song to Kumo D and Ice-T. And it's called To the Break of Dawn. Produced by Marley Marl off the Mama Said Knock You Out album. I fucked with that hard body.
Best LL album ever.
I thought he spazzed on Ice-T and he ain't Kumo D. I thought he was like, I, you got the nerve to have him Star Trek shades on. You better learn, you little voiced up French fry. I'm that type of guy. Yo, I fucked with To the Break of Dawn. Like, think about it when it came out. It's 1990. What diss songs do I know about? There's no Fuck Compton. Every diss song we talked about did not exist when To the Break of Dawn came out.
Nah.
The only song that I knew about was The Bridge Is Over. So L was the one doing diss songs. He had Back and Forth with Kumo D. He had To the Break of Dawn. Like, I fucked with it, man. Like, I can't think about what I'm telling y'all. It was before every diss song thing we talked about.
Yep.
So To the Break of Dawn is on my list, my G. So now give me yours.
I don't think I can anymore. I think we have pretty much the same song. Cause I'm looking at my list. We have every song on there. Break It Back Down, Ether, Common, The Bitch and You. I got that. Meanie Siegel, Tupac, Hit 'Em Up. I got all that, man. So I think we did a pretty good job. Now, Appreciation, man.
Hold up.
Appreciation, man. You want to go to Queens or Mount Vernon first?
Mount Vernon? Who's the Mount Vernon?
PRCL, my nigga.
Let's go to Mount Vernon. Money earning.
Yes, we got 45 minutes here. Let's get two of them in here. Going to Money Earning Mount Vernon. I don't want to call him a Chocolate Boy Wonder, but that was his name. Pete Rock and CL Smooth. Now, when you hear a name like Pete Rock and CL Smooth, you'll think Pete Rock is the rapper first. Just like Eric B and Rakim, people thought Eric B was the rapper. But no, Pete Rock was the producer, the DJ. CL Smooth was the rapper. I say Pete Rock and CL Smooth, sir. You say what?
Great hip-hop memories of the early 90s. Just a marvelous time. It was my early years in college. Everything in hip-hop was new. Like, you just had new groups coming out, new MCs, new artists. One of the new – so, you know, we're making a transition from the Eric B. Kane, Rakim era to new MCs that we never heard of. This was all the first album. One of them – was the Chocolate Boy Wonder and CL Smooth. Man, I really, really fucked with them. Fucked with the production. I fucked with the smooth lyricism of CL Smooth. CL Smooth had the perfect name. The man could flow, man. Flow, delivery. I mean, It's shocking to me.
And rhymes. And rhymes. He didn't rhyme like anybody else, and I thought he was ahead of his time with his rhymes.
And you know what? That's great to say, because he sounded so unique. Like, with CL Smooth, you couldn't even say, well, who was his, who does he sound like? Who influenced him? You know what
I'm saying?
You
couldn't do that. You couldn't do that with CL.
No, you couldn't. And I just love the man. I mean, I remember in the source when it was like, when they did a review on it, and they said, some people call this a 5 mic classic already, because the source used to get albums way before we heard it. Like, they reviewed it, and the album come out 2 months later. And I remember when they reviewed Mekki and the Soul Brother, they was like, some people said this is a classic already. I was so hyped for that fucking album. When that shit came out, and mind you, I was hyped for it because, you know, I knew Grand Poo fuck with him. I knew Heavy D and the Boys fuck with him.
Well, hold on,
my nigga.
Before you even go there, they blessed us with the Reminisce Over You. I mean, can we just talk about that before we get into the album? I mean, is that not a top 15 hip-hop song of all time? Am I reaching on that?
They Reminisce Over You is one of the greatest hip-hop songs in the history of hip-hop. And you could put it, let me tell you how great the song is. You could put that in top 5, top 10, top 20. You could put that in any number you want about T-R-O-Y. They Reminisce Over You. Trouble T-Roy. Heavy D's man who died in the tragic accident.
R.I.P. Trouble T-Roy. Heavy D's
dancer. Talk about this. This is what hip-hop was. This is what hip-hop was back then. It wasn't just, R.I.P. my nigga, free my nigga. It wasn't on that time. It was on this. Something happened tragic that touched us. We're going to write a tribute on it. My man, this video, the beat, the lyrics.
It was fire, man.
Make it one of the greatest hip-hop songs of all
time. The horns, my nigga. PR was good for them jazz samples, though, B. He was great for that shit.
They Reminisce Over You is, I don't know how much I can reiterate it. They Reminisce Over You is one of the greatest hip-hop songs of all time. That's the only way I can describe the song. The level of lyrics.
And the video, was so dope. And the video was so fire, man.
The level of lyricism. Now, let me tell you, my brother tells me this all the time. I would call him up. I'd be like, yo, what you think about J. Cole? What you think about Kendrick? What you think about these niggas? He'd be like, yo, my man, this is my brother. He said, why you keep asking me about these niggas, man? He said, you know whatever we lived through and what we heard, we know where you can go with lyricism. Now, we're talking about lyrics from 25 years ago. CL Smooth's lyrics stand the test of time. They don't sound outdated. Listen to the way he's rhyming. He's not cursing. He's not using.
That is factual. That is very factual.
I mean, he's using a flow and a style that no one has mimicked or come close to since. Actually has his own individual entity. And my God, man, like, I can't express enough how. So this is a 5 mic song. The beat is 5 mics. The lyricism is 5 mics. The video is 5 mics.
Classic.
It was classic, man. It's a classic album of hip hop. Mind you, now there's no Biggie, there's no Nas. They not here, man.
Nope.
This is '92. Man, this shit classic. I love this shit, man.
My nigga had Soul Brother number one. Soul Brother number one. P Rock's the solo one. They had Straighten It Out, which I believe was the second single on there. I love Straighten It Out.
Okay, so
had the Basement. They had Skins on there. Man, Kettles of the Mind.
My man, you cannot go past Straighten It Out. Straighten It Out. Everything I said about.
I love that song.
Everything I said they Reminisce Over You, I feel the same exact way for Straighten It Out. P-Rock on the horns is a mad genius. Let's
yes.
keep running. P-Rock on the board, Chocolate Boy Wonder. My God, when it comes to samples, digging in the crates, Lupin. My God, man. P-Rock. And the reason why I call him Mad Genius is because he was so young doing this shit, man. How was he
yes,
the last
he was.
Time?
Very young.
Kidding
me? He had to be a young nigga, man. Jamaican roots also. I'm throwing it out there.
Yo, P-Rock was so ill that the number one rap group in the world was like, this nigga, I got to get him. Yo, P-Rock, come holler at me. I want you to do the Shut Him Down remix.
Word, Public Enemy. Oh, my God. Nigga, I used to try to write rhymes off the instrumental, my nigga. I'm not going to hold you. For real.
So, this is a 5 Mic Classic album, by the way, guys, just to be very clear. If you want to hear P-Rock production on why P-Rock is looked at so highly regarded. And
why, hold on, let me ask you a question. Why doesn't he get enough props as premier?
I'm going to tell you why.
Or is it 1A, 1B?
Because he shouldn't. It is not 1A, 1B. Now, no one can take this any kind of way, but Premier's body of work in the 90s had more lasting effect. First of all, he put out 4 classic Gangsta albums. He put out the J-Wu album, the Group Home album, and then he worked with arguably the 3 greatest rappers of that decade, Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas. Primo has that. You cannot take that away. They basically only did 2 albums together. They did like a 3rd one, but they have the EP and these 2 albums.
Main Ingredient was also dope.
Right.
The Main Ingredient was straight.
It was straight before we get to that, but I'm just saying why I rank over P-Rock. It's not that I thought he was that much better. It's just that I have more memorable beats to choose from. That's all it is. There's just more.
Right, I agree.
That's all that is.
Now,
but in terms of when they do beats,
yeah.
No, my man, we cannot leave this fucking Mecca and the Soul Brother album, man. This was a classic album. But yo, if you just read the samples, my nigga, this is so. When Kanye West came out and Kanye West was doing samples to was doing soul samples. You know that absolutely meant nothing to me because I came from an era of soul samples. I came from RZA and P-Rock and Premier. So all he was doing, I mean, even more than that, Buck Wild, like everybody was doing soul samples in the 90s.
And Dre gave us the
G-Funk. So when Kanye started doing it and white people were like, oh, my God, we've never heard this before. Oh, my God, we're going to nominate you for 18 Grammys. And this is the most amazing stuff. I'm like, what? You motherfuckers must have never heard RZA with a soul sample or P-Rock with a soul sample. Soul samples been here. So that was my initial reaction to Kanye where I was like, a soul sample doesn't throw me off. Motherfuckers been using it. P-Rock is one of the great soul sample users. P-Rock is one of the greatest at digging in the crates. I love this album, man. I love the wig out. I loved, you can't front on me. Woo! Yo, that
you can't front on me. I was fired.
My nigga, yo, CL Smooth on that song is basically this. Niggas can't rhyme with him. I want to tell you this right now. CL Smooth might have been my favorite rapper that year. Let's really talk about it. In 92?
In 92?
In 92, you had
Redman.
You had Redman didn't come out yet. They came out before Redman. Redman came out later on. They came out in like May. And Redman came out later on. But let's just say you have Redman. Redman was my favorite too, my nigga. So let me not even act like Redman wasn't my favorite in 92. But CL Smooth was also my favorite. It wasn't like I was like CL Smooth. Like I never thought in my mind Redman being my favorite did not take away from the fact that I thought CL Smooth might have been the best lyricist during that time. And this is in the era of Tretch, when Tretch was a lyrical demon. CL Smooth was the same way to me. CL Smooth was the same way to me. You know, when Shaq needed somebody to write my biological didn't bother, who did he go to? He went to CL Smooth. That's who Shaq went to. He went to CL Smooth. Skins. Come on, my nigga. Is Skins not a classic song?
Yeah, facts.
One of my favorite songs on
the album. I ain't gonna believe
you. One of my favorite songs on the album is Skins.
Skins is Poop, Grand Poobah, right? Grand Poobah was on there, right? Grand Poobah had an ill verse.
Run and get the paper, and it won't be the Post after that. You know the flavor. I'm Ghost.
Oh.
Grand Poobah was. That's another thing. Grand Poobah was my favorite MCs during that time. Steph Smooth
yep.
was on the same level to me as Grand Poobah, Tretch, Rat Man. You hear this? How lyrical dope he was. Meaning, whoever was considered the best lyricist in hip hop, Steph Smooth, in my opinion, was just as good as them.
Right there with them.
More lyrical.
He's right there with him. He's right there with him. Now,
no question.
What did you feel after they broke up, though? It was kind of weird, wasn't it, when P-Rock and Seal broke up?
Well, do you want to check out the main ingredient to see what was on there first?
Yeah, I like the main ingredient. A lot of people didn't like that album. I guess Physical and all that. That shit was Always Out Searching was on there. It had some joints on there.
Once again, this was the mad genius of P-Rock. If you want to hear samples and you want to hear a hip-hop 101 and samples and digging in the crate, this was the one. This was the album where he did it. I'm going to tell you a song that is one of my favorite CL Smooth verses of all time. Take you there. CL, won't you take me there?
Yeah, that shit was dope, though. I ain't going to throw it, though. The homegirl singing on the hook and shit. Yeah, that was dope.
Never judge a book by the cover. Discover the soul brother and the Megadon. Work from brunette to blonde. Yo, let me tell you how CL Smooth was. This way. I'm going to tell you why CL Smooth is one of the greatest MCs ever. CL Smooth is the only MC who I have never been able to match his flow or quote or rap any of his verses in a row. I could do that with any of my favorite MCs. I have a favorite non-verse. Could rap another big verse. I cannot catch an entire CL Smooth verse and rap it. Because that's how complex he was. And I listened to him. I listened to Take You There all the fucking time. And the verse I just spit, that's fucking wrong from it. I love, yo, this nigga was, yo, my nigga. And this was in 94 now. Biggie's out. Biggie is out. J-Roo is out. Artifacts is out. OC is out. 94, one of the all-time great years of hip-hop. That is what I think happened to P-Rock and CL Smooth. That new Illmatic is out. The new generation was here now. And I thought P-Rock and CL Smooth was bridging the gap from the late 80s greats. And they had that little in-the-middle spot. But then Nas, Big, and all these other MCs came. And I think they were overlooked in that era. And I think CL Smooth was overlooked.
They got lost in the sauce, in a sense.
Another thing that happened. Pete Rock became so in demand that I can see that everybody just wanted to fuck with Pete Rock. Like, it was like Pete Rock just had, I think he was so fucking busy during that era where everybody wanted a Pete Rock, a Primo beat. Everybody.
So you're saying that he couldn't focus? You're saying he couldn't focus? But Premier could get niggas beats and still focus on Gangsta?
No. Because, like I said, this album is textbook. Because I'm looking at it. Searching. Take You There.
I like
Searching. Kane sample. Like, my minute, P-Rock is a hip-hop, you know, he's like Lost Professor. He's like Primo.
Yes.
You know, these real Q-Tip. These are these digging in the crates guys who can just spend an entire day, weeks, just going through the crates, playing music after music, finding the right sample. That's genius work, man. It's not easy to do that. You know, it's not easy to be like, oh, that sounds good. Loop that. Speed it up. Let me do it. P-Rock did that, and he did it in a great way. Listen, this was an album that got lost in the store. And to me, it's a goddamn shame.
I know a couple of people that didn't like that album, though. I know some people who wasn't really fond of that album.
I liked it because
I'll give it 4 mics.
How could I not like it? It was everything we love about hip hop. You know, it was Kanye before Kanye with the soul samples.
Well, I know some people felt like CL was doing a lot of more girl joints, catering to the females, trying to get his LL on.
I didn't have a problem with that because Juicy, Big Papa, and One More Chance is getting your girl on. Facts or no facts?
Yeah, but it was more on a smooth tip. It was more on a smooth tip, while Biggie shit was more on a raunchy tip, and it still had an edge to it, I think. So people would gravitate to that more than CL doing that when it's a smooth laid back flow.
You think One More Chance was more edgy than a song like Lots of Lovin'?
Yes.
I mean, it was the same type of shit. I mean, my God. I'm a big fan of
now,
in terms of if you're a historian of hip hop and you just want to hear
now
a great album.
Real quick, when they broke up, what do you think when they broke up?
It hurt me. It hurt me just as much as it hurt me when EPMD broke up. Because this was a perfect, these guys were perfect together in my opinion, man. P-Rock and CL Smooth,
yes.
Making a sober. P-Rock and CL Smooth, making a sober. I love that song. Everybody should know what song I'm talking about when I say that. You know what I'm saying? P-Rock and CL Smooth, making a sober. That was the hook.
Oh my God. I was happy for P-Rock though, because when he dropped that Soul Survivor album in 98, I was fucking with that shit hard body, my nigga. That's like 4 mics, 4.5 to me.
Yeah, I like that. I really like that. But back to P-Rock. Let me get to another P-Rock gem that I loved, and only P-Rock bombed on it. It's time to dip, dive, dip. I might break your hip. Remember that song?
Ooh. Oh, dip, dive, dip. I might make a flip with it.
Yo, my man, the beat for that with the horns. What about the horns for that?
Yo, P-Rock low-key, though. The nigga wasn't a great lyricist for a producer, but the nigga's voice was dope as fuck. Pause. You know what I'm saying?
Put it this way. This is what I really respect about him. He would say this straight up in an interview. I have my man Grand Poobah write me this verse, and then I dropped it. You know nobody fucked with him about that when he would say that. Remember that? He would always say he never hid if Grand Poobah wrote him something. Grand Poobah wrote Wreck With The Creator because that was Grand Poobah's voice. Because I get wrecked, you know what I'm saying? But the way Pete Rock delivered that shit, yo, my nigga, I loved it. You know what I'm saying? Like, Time to Get Wrecked With The Creator, that's a personal classic song to me, man. Straight up. And we know he produced the shit out of it because Pete Rock on the horn has no equal. He has no rival. You niggas put some horns.
Sorry, Primo. Sorry, Primo. Sorry, Q-Tip.
You had to have studied P-Rock if you put horns. What song should I listen to if I want to hear P-Rock on the horns? Right. Shut Him Down Remix, nigga. Fuck out of here. P-Rock is still smooth.
Yo.
Classic.
What do you think about the Soul Survivor mixtape, the album, though?
I liked it.
I loved it.
The magic of P-Rock and the magic of Mekka and the Soul Brother was not there for me. It didn't give me that feel.
But you wasn't going to get that, though, when you got Mad Niggas on there, collaboration. You got Black Thought and G-Rap on the joint. You got Deck, Corrupt, and you know what I'm saying? Like, you know?
Can I ask you a question? Why did he have Deck on that song, in your opinion? It's 1998. The reason why I asked is because in 1998, Pun came out with Capital Punishment and Inspector Deck was on there. P-Rock.
Tres Leches, yes. Tres Leches, yes.
So I'm asking you, what was it about Deck why you think someone like P-Rock or Big Dog Punisher, Full Eclipse Crew, why do you think out of
because of his, I mean, obviously, when you think of Deck, you think of the man who sets off a lot of historic songs from the Wu-Tang Clan. So it makes sense. Makes sense.
That's it.
And Deck was underrated. And when you,
the guy that said it,
what the fuck you want me to say? What the shit? What am I supposed to say?
I just want to know why, out of all the Wu members, it's Inspector Deck. Everybody had dropped the album.
Well, Meth was on the album. My nigga, to be fair now, Deck was on that album. Meth was on that album. Raekwon was on that album. And Ghostface was on that album. So let's not act like just Deck was the only Wu member on that album, sir. It was on a particular song, okay?
His name is Rebel INS, by the way. Raleigh Fingers, Peter Parker, your neighborhood Spider-Man. Soul Survivor did not give me the feel of P-Rock and CL Smooth. I liked them as
you're not supposed to get that feel by listening to that album. You're not supposed to get that feel, nigga.
I listen, my nigga, I have the cassette tape right here, right in my motherfucking face. Okay, I'm a hip hop fanatic for P-Rock. But in terms of the
had the ill joint with Capadonna, the pun joint with Nori. That shit was fire, man.
Yes, it was.
He had some joints on there, B.
Yes, it was.
Sticky's verse was fire. Strange Fruit was my shit. Oh,
Sticky Fingers. Sidebar. One of the most underrated MCs ever
facts.
In hip hop.
Facts.
Ever. The nigga is
super facts.
Dead nice. He's underrated.
Super facts.
Completely underrated.
All right. Well, shout out to Pete Rock and CL Smooth. Better about Pete Rock. CL Smooth appreciation. My nigga, we got 23 minutes, man. Let's squeeze one more in there. I don't think we can squeeze Trav in there, can we? Not 20. We can't do Trav for 20 minutes. To 20 minutes?
Go ahead. Yes, we can. Go ahead.
23 minutes? All right, we're going to Queens right quick, man. Let's go to QU. I say Trav Call Quest. You say what, sir? Shout out to Q-Tip, RIP Fife Dog, RIP J Hood. Salim Muhammad, you already know what it is, man.
Native Tongue, Afrocentric Wiz, smooth as can be, jazz to the fullest, jazz fusion hip-hop is here. Completely different kind of hip-hop than what you might have been used to. You know, you got N.W.A., you got P.E., you got Naughty by Nature, you got De La Soul, you got Jungle Brothers. But you got a Tribe Called Quest led by Q-Tip. So I'm